Today's message. Oh, I ain't even got half y'all with me. What's the title of today's message? Increase our faith. I got to have my faith to increase to believe y'all out there. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, speak to our hearts, challenge us to become the men, women, boys, girls of faith that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're wondering why I'm standing up here instead of Pastor Kelly, this is Pastor Kelly's doing. I asked Pastor Kelly about a month ago, I said, Pastor Kelly, do you want to preach on your fourth anniversary? And she quickly said, no, I don't. And you can preach on increasing our faith. So that is why I am up here and not her. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted the Lord to increase your faith? Have you ever prayed, Lord, increase my faith? How many of you realize few things are more dangerous and nerve-wracking than asking God to increase your faith? Because you don't know what you are opening yourself up to. Wouldn't it be nice that when we wanted God to increase our faith, all he had to do was to send us a candy bar or a piece of cake, and we just unwrap that thing and start eating it and just feel the muscles bulging out spiritually and our clothes ripping off because we come in spiritual hooks for God. Well, I done read through the Bible several times, and I have not yet once came across a faith candy bar or a faith piece of cake. Usually when you got your faith increased, there was a price to pay. And part of that price to increasing our faith is a price to understand just how big God really is. You see, the bigger you see God, the greater the possibilities for your life. The smaller you see God, the smaller the possibilities for your life. If you serve a great God, you can become a great Christian. If you serve a eeny weeny teeny weeny God, chances are you're going to be a pretty eeny weeny teeny weeny lousy Christian. Now, it's interesting how God chooses and uses people for his purposes. You see, God looks at us and chooses us long before we even have any plans on what God might be up to doing. Now, when Pastor Kelly first came to this church, she was not Pastor Kelly. She was not Elder Kelly. She was just plain old Kelly. And when she came, her sole intent was to march down the aisle at her sister's wedding. And she figured once Casey got married, they would be gone. Glenville would be a footnote in their lives. That is where my sister got married so long. But today, some 10 years later, her twin sister Casey is one of our most dedicated elders, and that Kelly is now our associate pastor. Both of them got husbands and kids that are actively involved in the ministries of this church. Now, when she walked down that aisle, she was simply thinking of herself as her sister's maid of honor. But God saw a mighty warrior reporting for duty. And if God had told her that at the time she reached this point down here, she probably would have fainted and had a heart attack. So he didn't tell her what was happening. Now, the amazing thing about God is that God can change the course of your life on any given day. And you may not have a clue as to what it is God is about to do in and through you. And the bigger the God you serve, the greater the change that can take place in your life. There's a young lady in the Bible that is not very well known. There's nothing in the scriptures about how beautiful she was, how she could sing. There was nothing about what a great shape she had. There's none of that. There's nothing to even suggest that anybody had taken note of her. She was from a very small, insignificant town. She's a teenager. She has her virginity intact. She's looking forward to the plans for her upcoming wedding and just how perfect everything is going to be. She sees herself as just one girl from a group of small town girls hoping for an ordinary life with an ordinary family in an ordinary town called Nazareth. And this young girl whose name is Mary, is one day all alone by herself. And that's when God decides to come a-calling. And God speaks to the angel Gabriel, and he says, go to Mary, give her this message. And when Gabriel arrives, he says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. For you teenagers, he would have said, what's up? The Lord is with you. But here it just says, greetings. And the scriptures tell us that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, I want you to notice that it's not the appearance of the angel that frightens her. It's the words the angels use. Mary probably thought the angel had the wrong person because he said, hello, you who are highly favored. Highly favored by whom? Most people didn't even know who she was. Mary's thinking, I haven't done anything significant. I haven't done anything to get God's attention. I'm not living that super holy life that God would want to be with me. Saints, I want you to know that as a child of God, you are highly favored by the Lord. Tell the person next to you, you are highly favored. God does know your name. You are not a mistake. And it's God has a plan for you, and it's all right to be a little scared of God's plan. God is a big God, and God can handle your nervousness. Now, God's favor, having God's favor upon your life is going to get some of you through some very, very difficult circumstances. Mary may have been frightened by the words the angel used because she knew the presence of God in one's life is there to equip you for a particular task God has for you to do. You see, when we ask God to increase our faith, we are saying, God, I am willing to submit to doing what you want me to do because I know you are going to be with me. Now, don't forget, the size of the God who is with you is going to determine whether or not your faith increases. Now, sometimes we plan to go in a direction and we hope that God tags along. Have any of you done that before? You already made your plans, and after they are finished, you said, and God bless these plans, instead of letting God draw them up in the beginning. Okay, we forget that it's God in control and not ourselves. When Pastor Kelly began to realize that God was at work in her life, she started to plan for her future. As a single mom back then, she wanted to look out for her and Whitney at the time, and she had asked if she could see me to discuss a legal matter. She came in to discuss the issue of guardianship. She was thinking about going into the military. We would have been calling her Lieutenant Colonel Kelly, but instead she's still just Pastor Kelly. She was thinking about going into the military to get a degree in medicine. I listened to her plans and everything very patiently, bless her heart. And what I had to tell her from a legal perspective about her situation, she was not all that excited to listen to. And sometimes what we want and what God's plans are not quite the same thing. And that's where the challenge comes into our walk with God. Now, Mary is hoping these words of this angel are not going to alter her plans for a normal, happy wedding, a normal family. But the angel said to her there in Luke 1:30, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be called Great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Now, when the angel finished speaking these words, Mary probably breathed a sigh of relief. She probably was thinking, thank God he got the wrong person. There's no way he could be talking about me because I am still a virgin. And he talking about having a child. You know, sometimes we think it's nice when we can just sort of sidestep what God may have said so that we can go back to the old way of doing things. How many of you have been tempted at times to go back to the old way of doing things? Because the old way doesn't require a whole lot of faith on our part. We just go back to doing what we used to do. And when I had told Pastor Telly the bad news about the guardianship thing, I offered her a challenge. I said, well, why don't you consider going to seminary and becoming a pastor? She looked at me with a look that was complete shock and unbelief. She said, what? I could never do that. I can't do what you and Pastor Toby do. Second response was, I don't have any money to go to school. That's why I was thinking about going into the military so they would pay for it. And her third response was, do you even think they want to take a single mom at the seminary? What she didn't recognize was that God's favor was on her in the same way it was on Mary. God had a plan. Mary had a plan. Pastor Kelly had a plan. And the temptation is to always look for a way out of God's plan in order to maintain our own. We specialize in coming up with reasons for why God's plan will not work. Any of you ever tried to bargain with God and let God? God, this just won't work to try to do it your way. Mary told the angel Gabriel, you know, that's nice and that's all, but it won't work. How can this be since I am a virgin? I have never had sex before, so there's no way I can be the one that's going to get pregnant. You know, I think sometimes God takes special delight in taking the impossible when he has said, I'm going to make it happen and start doing it. What is it that you would really like to do, but you think it's just impossible for that door to open for you? If you are thinking that way, perhaps your problem is your God that you're serving is too small. You can only increase your faith after you've increased the size of your God. Well, the angel tells her how it's going to happen. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Now Mary has a choice to make. Is she willing to risk God's plan for her life, or will she cling to what it is she wants to live? Now when the angel mentions her Aunt Elizabeth, she knows that he's really talking about her. He really do know who she is. Now, every saint is going to face the choice in which we're going to have to choose a path. We can choose to live life just as it comes, or we can rise up and choose the path that God may be willing and calling us to be a part of. Mary decided she would take a chance on God, and she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Little did she know what she was about to get herself into. She did not know how forever her life was going to be altered. Now, at some point, Pastor Kelly struggled with this issue of going to school, but she came to a resolution. She believed that even though she didn't know what was going to happen when she got there, she packed up her little bags, she packed up little Whitney, and off they went to Pittsburgh, home and dear lover of Walter Glenn's soul, bless his heart. And her life began to be altered. Now, Pastor Kelly will tell you, there were some days when she needed some money, and it did not fall out of the sky to meet her needs. There were days when she was driving that little car, and that thing broke down. It didn't always go the way it ought to go. There were days when she thought she should have got an A on a paper, and it did not happen. Happened that way, so everything didn't just fall into place. Why didn't it fall into place? Because it was part of God's way of increasing her faith to discover a God who was far bigger than she had first imagined. The person, this woman, who didn't have enough money to go to seminary her first year, by than she had first imagined. The person, this woman, who didn't have enough money to go to seminary her first year, by her last year, she had to turn down scholarship aid because she had too much. You don't know what God will do until you start saying yes to God's plan for your life. Let him live in you and reach your potential. Christ died for you because he saw some great potential in you. But if you don't live for him, you're not going to allow him to bring it out. God's plan requires an increase of faith because things don't turn out all the way we hope they would turn out. Now, when you look at Pastor Kelly and how God worked and maneuvered to get her through seminary, you say, praise God, this lady's fixing to set the world on fire. Why else would God go through all of that? Well, Pastor Kelly is not quite where she is today, where she thought she would be when she left seminary. She didn't think that 5 years later she would still be working part-time at this church. She's probably making the same now as she did before she went to seminary. Her vision as an associate pastor hasn't reached this fulfillment here at Glenville as she would like. There have been a lot of great moments, a lot of hard work as well. She is waiting for God to still bless and explode this church so that she can join her rank of colleagues with a full-time salary for full-time work. You can see where she is right now, but you can't see where she is going to be. And I'm telling you, God is going to do some things for you that even you are going to be amazed that God did. God just has all kinds of surprises in life for us. Come back and see her another 5 years from now. Y'all going to be borrowing money from her. Pray. Like Pastor Kelly, Mary got more than she bargained for in saying yes to the will of God. God's favor on her life was a tremendous challenge. Now, imagine telling your fiancé, you are pregnant by the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all gonna buy that story? Very, very few. Joseph, when he found this good news, quote unquote, out, he could have had her stoned. But instead, he decided to divorce her in secret. Do you think this sort of changes the wedding plans that Mary had in mind? Now, it wasn't until after an angel spoke to him and said, brother, she's telling the truth. Go ahead and marry her. Now, when she came back, he came back to her ready to marry her. How do you think she feel? Don't you think it took an increase of faith to be able to take back somebody who done called you a liar, an adulterer, or at worst, a mental case who thought something like that could have happened? Then toward the end of her pregnancy, it wasn't easy. She had to travel by donkey, 9 months pregnant, all the way to Bethlehem in order to pay their taxes, be counted in the census, and to fulfill the prophecy of where Jesus was going to be born. Now, can you imagine being on a donkey from here to Akron, 9 months pregnant, just going up and down? And then you said, man, why are you doing this to me? And he said, baby, when we get to Bethlehem, I'm going to put you in the finest room they got. And you say, well, I can hold on. And you waiting for that fine room. And you get there and they ain't a room for 100 miles in any direction. And then you find out you got to go out and stay in a barn with sheep and cows and smells and odor. And we talk about the manger like it was this real holy thing with a golden light around it. It wasn't nothing like that. All it was a box that the ox and the sheep used to. So you got this slob and everything else all over it. And that's where your baby spends his first night. Does this sound like being highly favored of the Lord? I think she might say, this is not what I had in mind. There were no halos around their head as they was all looking at each other. That's just on the cards. Mary was probably thinking, if this is what it means to be highly favored, I'd hate to see what it is to be on the wrong side. And then when things finally begin to settle down, they're making a home for themselves in Bethlehem, something good did happen. Jesus is now a little toddler, probably about the size of little Terrence, and the wise men show up. And the wise men, they give them gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. How many of you know these are very, very valuable objects? All of a sudden, you're going from poverty to the middle class overnight, and there's finally some money to be put in the bank. And just when they get all excited, Joseph has a dream and says, if y'all don't get out of there, Herod is going to kill all three of you. Run for your lives to Africa and stay in Egypt until I call y'all back out. Oh, God damn, something went right. But that's how it is sometimes when we follow God. Not every challenge that comes into our life is from the devil. Sometimes the hard things you go through in life will be because you were obedient to God. Mary received God's favor, but that didn't mean that her life was a life of wealth and comfort and social standing and ease and everybody admiring her. You know, if you're looking for those things in your relationship with the Lord, you're looking in the wrong place. God's favor will often sometimes involve adversity, but that's how we increase our faith. We got to keep in mind what the end product is going to be. Mary is going through all of this, but she doesn't realize fully what she's about to give birth to. She doesn't realize what an impact God is going to have on the world through her. And sometimes we don't know what God is trying to birth out of us. It costs something to have it. Now, God's favor requires obedience on our part. Can we be bold enough to be like Mary and be willing to say, Lord, I want your will done for my life. Whatever it takes, I submit myself to doing it. More than anything else going through all of this, Mary needed God's peace. She needed to be able to say, God, with your grace, with your mercy, I'm going to make it through this. We need to be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because sometimes that's what it's going to take is Jesus Christ. Nobody else can give you that kind of strength. Your circumstances won't. Your natural abilities won't. This is something that happens between you and God. You know, today, if you don't know Jesus and you're going through some hard times, I think Jesus wants you to know that he is bigger than your failures. He is bigger than your regrets, many though they may be. He is bigger than your sin, bigger than your guilt. And he says, if you will just invite me in, I will come into the door of your life. I will be your forgiver. I will be your friend. I will be the kind of strength that you need. You see, only Jesus makes walking with a big God really possible. Because in Jesus, we see a God that is bigger than our sin when we look at the cross. A God that has all kind of grace when we look at the cross. A God that rose out of an empty tomb, which shows he's bigger than death, which means he's bigger than disease, bigger than illness, bigger than cancer. You name it, he's bigger than that. Now, if you know him, then I believe his word for us these days is, I know all about the issues and the enemies in your life. I know about your worries. I know about your struggle with your kids. I know what you've lost. I know about your divorce. I know about your crumbling marriage. I know about your job failure. I know about your abortion. I know about how you've just stopped trying to grow in the Lord. I know about your dreams that have died. I know where you've decided to just give up. But he wants us to know that he has better dreams for us. And he's saying, if you will allow me, I will be a bigger presence in your day, in your life, day after day. I will become bigger and your faith will increase. I think God's message to us as a church is that I have seen your desire to make me a bigger God, and I'm going to respond by making you what I've desired for you to be. Now, next Sunday is our last big Sunday of the year, I think. We might have two great big Sundays. But next one is our last great big one that we're planning for. And next Sunday, we're asking for $500 for Christmas. Now, I wish y'all could have been here on Friday. This whole aisle here was just bustling with people working together, trying to reach people for Christ as they were putting packets together. It was an exciting time to just see that desire to want to make a difference. And I applaud all of you who came out. And then on Saturday, we had people saying couldn't wait to get their bags, couldn't wait to go and knock on doors. We knocked on some doors. There were some people that were excited to see us. There were some people that said, I already got my own church, and it was glad we knew that because we didn't have to leave our CD there. And there were some people that wasn't interested at all. But we were doing what Jesus said, which was to seek and to save the lost. And I commend each and every one of you, because you don't know what a difference you may be making in somebody's life. Now, some of you signed up and you didn't show up. We forgive you. A little bit. We've got one more weekend to make a difference. And each one of you have a gold sheet there to say, I want to help make a difference in next Sunday. And I want you to fill that sheet out just like you did. Now, whatever of those things you are willing to do this week to make next Sunday all that it can be, I want you to fill it out, put your name on it. There's somebody saying, this is my name. This is what I'm going to do. And we will expect you to do what it is you said. You can check one thing. You can check two. You can check three. Now, again, those of you who are inviting people, like I said, we've got the free CDs and the free DVDs back there. Or if you want to go by yourself in your neighborhood, take a bag of 10, we'll give you a bag. What do we ask you to do? You knock on the door. You say, do you have a church that you're planning to attend on Christmas Sunday? If they say yes, you say, praise God, have a wonderful time, and go to the next home. If they say no, you say, well, we'd like to leave you with a gift and an invitation to join us. That's all you have to do. If they say, come on in and eat some chicken, give me a call. I'll meet you over there so you don't have to go in by yourself. One house Pastor Toby went to, they ended up giving her an offering to take back to the church. So you don't know what's going to happen when you get there. Just don't expect everybody to be super excited about seeing you. Everybody wasn't super excited about seeing Jesus. All right? But we work together to increase our faith, because how many of you know we serve a very big God? Amen.